Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Listen, there's a lot going on in D.C., and what I want to get to with David Lightman from McClatchy, D.C., who probably hasn't slept. David, good morning. Happy holidays.
Hi. Happy holidays. And let's hope Congress gets out of here before the holiday.
Well, what was shocking to me, to be honest, this Trump-Musk 1-2 punch didn't just look formidable. I thought they were dictating the terms. So when last night, when this thing didn't pass, when it had Trump's approval, I was stunned. And so just tell me what happened and tell me why the Republicans who voted against it did it.
Well, longstanding Republican conservative position, if you will, is that, number one, they don't like the debt ceiling. They feel it's, you should cut spending. You shouldn't keep raising the debt. So you're going back to a core principle of a lot of conservative Republicans when you stick a debt ceiling increase in there, which Trump wanted and which was in the bill. But the second thing is, a lot of Republicans felt this wasn't a sincere effort to cut spending. They want a methodical approach to cutting spending. And in fact, that's what they've been doing all year. And that's what Musk and Ramaswamy are trying to do. This was a last-minute, patched-together mess, if you will. They didn't care if Trump supported it. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if this is the beginning of something else. And that is, Trump will be a lame duck. And all 435 members of the House are up for re-election in 2 years. So it's going to be interesting to see just how loyal they are to him. But, again, to go back to this, when you tinker with core principles of Republican conservatives on spending, you're into dangerous territory.
Well, let me. There's a bunch of things that brings up because Trump initially said you got to lift it for 2 years, and I was like, well, that takes him to his lame duck period. And then he said this morning on True Social that he wants it to 2029, which would be his whole term. And what is the point of raising it for 2 years so he could spend as much as possible or much as he wants to? Like, why would he want to do that in the first place?
Well, a lot of reasons. First of all, he feels it ties his hands. Every president feels that way. Second, the big initiative is going to be in January, February of next year, the tax cut. All his 2017 tax cuts expire at the end of 2025, and they're going to try to renew them. And they probably will, because the Republicans have a majority, and they only need 51 votes in the Senate for that. But that's also going to cost the government trillions of dollars. I think the last estimate in 2017 was something like $2 trillion. It's a key reason the deficit has exploded the way it has. So there are others, but that's a big one. So in order to get that tax cut through, and again, calm the conservatives, he needs that debt limit raised. Because if it's not, you're going to hit that thing probably next summer.
Yeah, I mean, I my first reaction was just that, too. It's like, I mean, you raise the debt ceiling, let's have a grand bargain then and really do something serious to cut spending. You would think that it's something you could do in coordination with the Department of Government Efficiency when he takes over. And here's the other thing, and he kind of wants Biden to own a shutdown. About an hour ago on True Social, this is what he wrote. If there's going to be a shutdown of government, let it begin now under the Biden administration, not after January 20th under Trump. This is a Biden problem to solve, but if the Republicans can help solve it, they will. So, I mean, is he trying to just get his – he's trying to free up as much as he can for when he gets in there so he doesn't have to deal with it? I mean, or is he trying to just humiliate Biden? What's behind that?
Nobody can read his mind, and his mind changes from hour to hour, as you see. I mean, who knows? Yeah, I think in some ways it's a ploy to embarrass Biden, who has been on the sidelines through this whole thing, by the way. I think this way Trump can come in on January 20th and say, look at me, I've opened up the government again. I've made everything great. Well, as he'll see, it's not that easy. Also, frankly, a shutdown, for all its drama, for all the fact that it's going to dominate the media, think about this. Who is really affected by a shutdown. Federal employees, obviously, they wouldn't get paid, although usually they get paid retroactively. But it's Friday, so there's no, most government workers don't work Saturday, Sunday. I think they're off Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. They have some time here. So there's a lot of rhetoric. We in the media report it, but we have to be careful not to get hysterical about it, if you know what I mean, and remember what's really going on here.
We're talking with David Lightman here from McClatchy, D.C., and we only have a little bit of time left, but I want to also ask about, you know, there's a ton of stuff. You know, Trump was trying to get the Senate to stop approving judges. I want to know what the latest on that. I also, what does all this hubbub about the government shutdown mean for nominees? But before those two questions, can you just give any insight into what's going to happen between now and the end of the day? And are they going to have a deal, or are they going to have a shutdown?
You know, I've spent all week up there, and I've talked to everybody I usually rely on, including veteran reporters like me. We all say to each other, what do you predict? No one knows. Anybody who predicts what's going to happen here is kidding you. I'm telling you, this is uncharted territory. I could lay out five scenarios for you, and I'd be guessing. No one knows. The easiest thing to do, go back to that compromise from Tuesday night, the bipartisan compromise, put it on the floor. Mike Johnson may lose his speakership over it, but that thing would pass in literally an hour if you did it, and that would be that.
And then the nominees and the judges. I mean, does this make it easier for the nominees? And are they going to? Are the Democrats going to be able to push through more judges before the end of the year?
No, I think Democrats are going to want to be out of there today if they could, or tomorrow, or Monday. No, judges. There are a couple more up for votes today in the Senate, but they're not going to meet next week unless, again, there's a budget mess, and they're just going to keep trying to get through as many judges as they can, but they're not going to go into overtime on this. Nominees, yeah, I mean, I can give you all kinds of crazy scenarios. Suppose the government's still shut down. What's that mean in planning Trump's inaugural? What's it mean for the transition? I mean, we can go on and on with this. It just, that's what I say, this is uncharted territory.
Anything else going on we're talking about? This is pretty much, I mean, that's all massive stuff, obviously.
This is it, yeah. No, it's all, everything's up in the air pending what they do with this budget. If they don't, and then we could talk about Mike Johnson is going to survive as Speaker January 3rd, and if not, then what happens? And here, I'll give you another crazy scenario. Let's say there's no Speaker January 3rd. They can't agree on one. January 6th, they got to count the ballots, the Electoral College in the Congress. If there's no speaker, they can't organize, they can't count the ballots. What happens?
You got Rand Paul floating Elon Musk as Speaker of the House.
No, that ain't going to happen. That much I can tell you.
Well, you don't have to be a member of Congress to be Speaker of the House. I mean, that is, I think, in the Constitution, right?
That's true. But no, that is not going to happen.
I don't know how to feel about any of it. I am all for spending less taxpayer money on a bunch of bad things, but I also, it just comes across as just the fact that we can't get stuff like actually funding what we're doing is kind of embarrassing.
Well, that's it. This isn't deep into policy. This is just trying to survive three more months on this budget.
I don't know why Trump wouldn't be like, let's just do it now. I'll get together with the Doge and we'll find a way to cut costs. And then when we do that, then we'll do that in conjunction with the debt ceiling and it'll make a lot of sense. I don't know why he wouldn't embrace that challenge, right? Because if you truly want to cut costs, that's what you would do.
Trump's a businessman. He's used to seeing things done quickly. And Congress never does, Washington never does things quickly. Here he has a chance to actually act. Yeah. And that's what I think is so tempting to him this week.
David, have a wonderful holiday. We appreciate all your hard work, and we love having Fridays with you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, in 2 weeks. Next week, we'll all take time off for the holiday, I hope.
We'll see you then. Thanks, David.
Okay,
be well.
Great. Thanks. Have a good holiday.